All right. Oh, I'm going to actually... Hey, Michael, will you shut that door when you... Thank you. All right, very cool. I love the first midweek of the month. It's so great just getting together as sisters. Let's go ahead. What we'll do, very similar to last time, have just a short lesson, and then we'll break up into groups of three. I'll give some discussion questions, and we'll kind of have a time for degroup and discussion in our groups. So go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started, okay? Dear God, thank you so much just for letting us come here tonight, God, and be in a part of your body, God, for sending just Jesus to the earth to die for us, God, even with it being December and about to celebrate Christmas, God. I pray that we can just stay focused on what the meaning of the season is, God, that we don't get distracted by, our to-do list or buying gifts or shopping, God, but that we always remember this whole time of the year is because of you and your sacrifice and sending your son to us, Lord. I just pray for this lesson. I pray that you just take me out of the way and just your words speak through me, God. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 1. All right, Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And it says, "In the sixth month, God sent an angel of Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that this may be. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' And the angel left her." And since this is December, I thought this month we would focus on Mary, the mother of Jesus. I believe that there's a lot that we can learn from her heart and the type of woman that she was. An angel of the Lord came to her and gave her news that she, as a virgin, would conceive a child. Mary did not resist. It could have been doomed for Mary's life and a disgrace for her and her family. She was already engaged to Joseph at the time the angel spoke to her. And according to Jewish law, betrothal was a two-part process. In the initial phase, the engagement was a legal contract that required the couple to marry. The engagement could only be broken by divorce, adultery, or death. Deuteronomy 22:23-25 gave the law allowing a woman or a man to be killed for violation of their engagement contract. Once engaged, the marriage did not occur for about a year, when the groom then ceremonially took the bride home and the couple had sexual intercourse. Mary, however, would have been considered Joseph's wife during this engagement, even though Mary would have lived with her family and Joseph would have lived with his family until that ceremony took place. Who would have believed that Mary was pregnant as a virgin? Not many. If I knew her, I would be really skeptical. I wouldn't believe her. But probably her family didn't believe in her, and probably not Joseph either, since Joseph had the idea to divorce her in secret. Under Jewish law, she could have been stoned to death if Joseph exposed her. But we see through Mary's interaction with the angel just how brave she was and how much she trusted God. She would have known the laws and the customs of the land, but she did not fear them. Her devotion to God's promises for her life makes her a model servant, and we can imitate Mary's example to learn to be a servant of God as well. So my first point is Mary's heart to surrender and obey. Mary is probably about 13 to 14 years old when the angel comes to visit her. Girls could have been, they would have been engaged as early as 12 years old in the first century. That is so young. I can't imagine at that age having all of this responsibility on me and becoming a mom and being married. And it's just so much for, you know, for someone even older to handle. But her at being 13 was just so mature. In verse 29, it mentions that Mary was greatly troubled by the angel's words and wondered what kind of greeting that he would be bringing her. And it made me think, how do I respond to trouble? Am I fearful? Do I try to take charge of the situation? But not Mary. Mary listens to what the angel had to say, and she's not a skeptic. She did not let her emotions control her. She responds to God's calling for her life, which I think can be so hard. I don't know how many people here can relate, but many times I kind of react before I respond. I don't know what I'm feeling. It's just kind of like a fight or flight mode that I go into when something happens. But Mary, she doesn't do this. She has a heart to surrender at the age of 13 to what God's will is for her life. And it's a great example of what a childlike heart looks like. It's one that just trusts and listens and follows God. I would have had so many questions for Gabriel. I would feel the need to have complete understanding. Like, you know, Mary asks, how will this happen? But he explains and she kind of accepts it. For me, I'd be like, no, wait, I still don't understand. Tell me again, like, how will this happen? I don't know how many of you guys have felt this way before, but I've always thought, well, if an angel came to me, I would listen. I would get it then. I don't know if I would, because every day these little trials kind of test my response to God if I will follow him. You know, and I have to ask myself, in those small moments, do I surrender or do I go to my fight or flight mode? Mary listens to Gabriel and then responds with, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. I want to have a heart like Mary's when God calls me, a heart just to surrender and say, yes, God, whatever your will is for me, I will do. This portrait that Luke paints of Mary is pretty significant. She is a model believer, taking in the word of God, in contrast with her cousin Zechariah, who was a few verses before, if you go back in 37 and 38, Zechariah questioned the angel, where Mary kind of just accepted it. Verse 30, it says that Mary has found favor with God. We can see in verses 29 that Mary is thoughtful. In verse 38, we can see that Mary's obedient. Verse 45, we can see that Mary's believing. In verse 46, we can see that Mary is worshipful. And she's a faithful follower of God's law. We can see that in chapter 2, 22 through 51. I will emphasize, however, that despite all of these qualities, God's choice of Mary to bear a child springs from God's grace, not from any inherent merit that Mary possesses. She is the object of God's unmerited grace. Her description as one who found favor with God in verse 30 makes it clear that God acted on her behalf and not because of her. A similar combination of words occurs in Ephesians 1:6 when it says, the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given to us. That phrase, has freely given to us, in Greek is the same, you know, type of words as highly favored. And it's referring to us today that we are highly favored as well by God because of the cross. Not because we deserve God's favor on the cross, but because, again, of his unmerited grace towards Christians. In fact, Mary seems kind of perplexed by this sudden announcement. She did not ask or seek for this role in God's plan. She simply stepped into her life, and God brought her into his service. her asset is that she's faithful and that she could be honored for her model for faithfulness and openness to serve God. That doesn't mean she is to be worshipped, though. That's only for God. But Luke wants us to identify with Mary's example and not to exalt her as a person. What are the things that God is calling us to that we are resistant? Is it going out sharing our faith with strangers? Is it having daily quiet times and seeing our need to be close to God every single day? Is it confessing our sins and going after repentance with eagerness? Is it to start seeking advice before we make a decision, not after? Is it to pray to God every day? Not just these little prayers, but prayers that we lay everything bare before God and we are vulnerable to Him. Is it to be submissive to our husbands or to obey and respect our parents or to resolve a broken relationship and get rid of all bitterness with someone? God is calling us higher every single day, and we all need to just think, you know, what is God calling me to? There is something. We can learn from Mary's example so that we can confidently say, I am the Lord's servant. I think it takes a heart to surrender and obey God, to have that kind of heart that Mary has and to have that response when God calls us. We will never grow in our characters if we're resistant. And I don't think anyone in this room feels like spiritually they have arrived and that they don't need to grow anymore. But that's what we express when in our heart we have stubbornness and we make excuses not to change and to grow and to repent. I remember as a young Christian for myself, I felt justified in not talking to people because I was shy. And I would say, well, you know, God gave me this characteristic. He knows how I am. I would make excuses. And I would even think God was okay with it. I was so resistant for a long time. And my relationships with people suffered. And it impacted my relationship with God. Until finally, after getting lots of help and other people, you know, sharing with me, because I couldn't see it, I finally repented and I grew. But God was calling me to that change my whole life as a disciple. He was calling me to be a more loving person. I was so resistant, I couldn't even see it at the time. And then when I let go of my comfort, I was able to see God working through that small interaction. And it was amazing because then that transformed my relationships. And so it was really encouraging just letting go of that. But if we don't let go of our resistance, we never will see God work through the process. So let's look back at Luke chapter 1 again. We'll read on just a bit more about Mary's character. And we're actually going to read Mary's song starting Luke chapter 1, starting 46 through 55. And it says, let's start reading in 39. It says, at this time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in a hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is your child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of his humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent away the rich empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering them to be merciful, to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he had said to our fathers. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home. So my second point is her strength came from being close to God. In the song that Mary sings, 12 different Old Testament passages are cited. Mary's song is a lot kind of like Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2, and she probably used that as an example. But that shows me a lot about Mary's character, that she knew her Bible really, really well, that she had heard stories from the Bible, and she held them in her heart. She didn't have quiet times that just by the end of the day she forgot, but she's able to recall them, and she expresses them in her song. I believe this gave her strength to trust in God in this period of time. She not only heard God's words, but she believed it. And it makes me think, you know, do I do the same with my times with God? You know, does it carry through? Do my quiet times help me carry through to my trials? 2 Timothy 3 says that the Bible is applicable to every good work. And do we cling to the word of God tightly? You know, are we feeling close to God right now? Some practices, just practically, to get closer to God are spending time in his word, studying it out. Don't just check it off our list, but really invest in our time to know God more through his scriptures. Pray to him every day. Have spiritual conversations with one another. Have God on our thoughts and on our lips. Have a date with God and go just spend hours with him without distraction. Have a special place where you can go where it's just you and God. Study the Bible with someone. And if you don't know where to begin reading the Bible, ask someone to study with you. Help someone become a Christian. That is such a great way to really get strength from God's word. Sing songs to God. Write psalms in your journal. But do something, because this is the most important relationship you will ever have. We can't take it for granted. Be alarmed and be open with someone if you don't feel that connection with God. It's all throughout the Bible that, you know, we will not have fellowship with him if we're not spiritually connected to him. In Mary's song, I feel like it's an overflow of how she felt about God. And her song can be divided up in 4 sections. The first one, in verses 46 through 48, it's praises to God for what he has done for her. The second part of the song mentions attributes of God. She talks about God's power, his holiness, and his mercy. The third thing is, from verses 51 to 53, it shows God's sovereign action. And then the fourth thing, from 44 to 55, it recalls God's mercy to Israel. But this is definitely a woman who's intimately knows God. She couldn't have wrote these things or expressed this without a deep connection. She's a good model for us to follow, and just how our relationship with God should look like and should be expressed. In Mary's song, she calls God her Savior. And this is so impacting to me, just seeing Mary's perspective. Because we've already talked about how this pregnancy could have resulted in her stoning and her death. But her perspective is to look at the way God was working in the situation and have faith in him. Not the ways that, you know, the situation could have turned out bad. Hello, the guys are next door. She is risking her life here. You know, but when you hear her speak, you would never know it, what the consequences were. How would this song be different if we were in Mary's situation? I have a gift to see how things can go wrong in any possible situation. If I was singing the song, I would be pleading with God how to make it obvious for people to know that I haven't broken any of the laws. I would want to make sure that everyone knew that I wasn't guilty of any sin. I would have felt like this is a punishment, because if it didn't go well with others, I could be dead. But Mary sees God as her Savior through all of this. Where I would have been tempted to look at the facts and respond to God, Mary sees God And that helps her, in my opinion, to have that complete trust and faith. I want to learn to kind of have tunnel vision when it comes to trials, so that I don't see everything that's happening, but I just see God. Mary is in awe of the Mighty One, whose great power has been exercised in her life. So some discussion questions that I have is, the first one is, you know, what is God calling me to surrender to? And the second question is, do I feel close to God? Why or why not? And then explain a time. What did it look like the time that I did feel close to God? You know, people feel like, oh, I don't. And the third question is, what decision can I make this week to have a heart more like Mary? And so the guys probably will be finishing up in about 10 minutes or so. So let's go ahead and break up into groups of three, and then we can just talk and discuss these questions.